Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also invite you to our website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs and MP3 files. You'll also find Bible videos, 30 minutes in length, on various subjects, and you will also find many other valuable biblical resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. We also want to invite you to our services here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We meet at regular times, and we'll give you those times at the end of our service and our program this morning, and we invite you to come to Bible study or worship, and you will always be warmly received. We want to just show you your need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, who died in order to get you free from your sin. We have been studying the book of Hebrews, and we are looking at the context of Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 through 8, that we began last week by looking at onto perfection. We're looking at spiritual growth. We're looking at growing in our faith and our knowledge of God's Word. Last week, we discussed repentance from dead works and faith towards God as being elementary principles that our faith foundation is built upon and that we should move beyond those. We want to continue that discussion this morning by talking about the next in our verse, and that is the doctrines of baptism. Now, before we get into the doctrines of baptism, let me read you a passage from Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 5. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5, it says, "There is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism." Now, does this statement of doctrines of baptism, plural, does this contradict Ephesians 4 and verse 5? If we only have one baptism, what is the writer here discussing? Well, he's discussing there are other baptisms discussed in the Bible. Let me give you an example. Let's begin by looking at Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 11. Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 11. This is in the Gospel of Matthew. And in chapter 3 and verse 11, we read, "I indeed baptize you with the water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." So notice, this is a baptism unto repentance. We see this again in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 5, when Paul is in Corinth. And it says that it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul had passed through the upper regions and came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "We do not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Now again, we are looking at John's baptism. Now John's baptism was a baptism unto repentance. It was practiced by John when he came as a forerunner to Jesus Christ, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 3. That was a baptism, but was a baptism unto repentance. It was not the baptism of Ephesians 4 verse 5. So that is a baptism that is taught in the Bible. And then there's another baptism that many are consumed by and think that all men have to have today in order to be saved, and that is Holy Spirit baptism. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, we have the first account of Holy Spirit baptism. "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues, as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now, this is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to just move to another passage, and then we're going to come back to this one. But we want to read the other account of Holy Spirit baptism in Acts 10, beginning in verse 44. Acts 10 and verse number 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And all those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered. Now notice, what we see here is the baptism of the Holy Spirit upon the household of Cornelius. Now, in Acts chapter 2, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was a fulfillment of a promise that Jesus had made to those disciples in John 14, 15, and 16 in a private conversation. Go back and study the text. We also read in Acts 1, verse 8, that Jesus told them, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." And in verse 5 of that same chapter, he told them to tarry in Jerusalem, so they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. Now, in Acts 2, later on in that sermon, Peter, in preaching on the day of Pentecost to the Jewish nation that were gathered there, said that what they were witnessing was the fulfillment of the prophet of Joel, that the Holy Spirit will be poured out upon all men. It began on all men with the Jews in Acts 2, and it began with the Gentiles in Acts 10 with the household of Cornelius. But this Holy Spirit baptism is a fulfillment of prophecy and a promise made by Jesus to his disciples. We obey commands. We don't obey promises. Promises and prophecies are not things that we obey. We obey when we obey commands and things that God has told us. And so we need to understand that we are trying to come to grips with understanding that Holy Spirit baptism was a promise, not a command. We are no longer under Holy Spirit baptism. After Acts 10, you will never see Holy Spirit baptism again. It will never be demonstrated. It will never be used. It is something that was never practiced. It was never promised. It only fell on the apostles, and that was a fulfillment of a promise that Jesus made. And also, it was a fulfillment of a prophecy, and that's why it fell on the household of Cornelius to demonstrate that they too had been granted repentance unto life by their obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Peter preached to them the same gospel that he preached to the Jews in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 2. And so what we see here is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is no longer in play. It is no longer required because it was never done again after the baptism in Acts 10. The baptism of the Holy Spirit never saved anyone. It never saved anyone. It was never commanded of anyone. And so that baptism is not enforced. And then you have the baptism of fire. The baptism of fire was referenced by John the Baptist and Jesus in Matthew 3, verse 11. But that is a baptism of judgment. That is the baptism that Jesus is going to render upon all those who are disobedient. Read with me in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. This is the only baptism that has yet to occur. This baptism will only be done at the end of time when the Lord returns in his final resurrection and the judgment of all men. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we begin reading in verse 7. It says, "And to give you a troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. We're going to be destroyed by the Lord. And 2 Peter 3 verse 7 says that that's going to be fire and it's going to be destructive. Fire and brimstone is what Revelation 20 and verse 15. This is the eternal baptism of the disobedient. The baptism of fire is the baptism for the disobedient. They're going to be immersed in hell. They're going to experience the second death. It's eternal separation from God. That baptism has not taken place yet, and that's not a baptism anybody should ask for. You know, and I've heard people who prayed that they received the baptism of fire. They're referring to Acts chapter 2. They're talking about receiving tongues. And that's not a prayer that God's going to answer, because the tongues was a spiritual gift that was in the first century that only was there because we didn't have the Word of God. The baptism of fire is not tongues. The baptism of fire is eternal judgment. It is retribution for the wicked. It is condemnation of the disobedient. That's a baptism you don't want to experience. So we have the baptism of John the Baptist. It's no longer in force because that baptism was unto repentance to point men to Christ. Holy Spirit baptism was never commanded. It was a promise. It was only done in Acts 2 and Acts 10. And the baptism of fire is yet to come, and it's going to come upon the disobedient on the day of judgment. And then you have another baptism that's referenced in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and that's the baptism under Moses that was done when the Israelites crossed the Red Sea. That's been accomplished, so that's no longer in effect. And then you have one that Jesus mentions himself in Matthew 22 when he talks about the baptism of suffering. That was the baptism that he would endure upon the cross. That was a baptism that, again, is no longer in effect. And so all these different baptisms are no longer in effect. The baptism of John the Baptist had served his purpose. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was a fulfillment of prophecy and promise, not a command. The baptism of fire has not yet come. The baptism on the Moses was already took place on the other side of the Red Sea. And the baptism of suffering was done by Jesus upon the cross when he died for the sins of the world. And the apostles would be baptized in that baptism too, not by crucifixion, but by suffering. All of them except the apostle John died a martyr's death for their faith in Christ. They all went to have that baptism of suffering because of their faithfulness to God. And so when you look at the scriptures on the doctrines of baptism, all of those rest are no longer in effect. There's only one that remains. Which one remains? That is the baptism for remission of sin. That's what they were told in Acts 2, verse 37 and 38. That's what every believer did that was converted in the book of Acts. They submitted to the baptism in water for the remission of sin in order to obtain remission of sin. We need to understand the doctrines of baptism, but we need to understand that all of them have served their purpose except one. And one is yet to come, that is for the disobedient and for the wicked. But the only one that's in force and the one that we should want is the baptism for remission of sin that puts us into contact with the blood of Christ. Romans 6, 1 through 7. Doctrines of baptism. Study your Bible and see there is only one that is still in force.